Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachum. Our text for reflection is Jonah 1:1-10. The prophecy of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. My theme for reflection is when grace chases you down. When grace chases you down. There is something deeply human about running from deadlines, from awkward conversations, from the gym membership we signed up for in January. Some people run for fitness. Others run from responsibility. I once met a man who said, "I don't run unless something is chasing me." Little did he know, grace often does the chasing. In Jonah 1:1-10, we meet a prophet on the run, not from a diet, not from a workout, but from the very voice of God. Jonah receives a clear commission: go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. But instead of booking a ticket to Nineveh, Jonah bolts in the opposite direction, heading for Tarshish. If God said east, Jonah went west. Not a detour. This was full-on rebellion with nautical flair. Now, Jonah was not ignorant or clueless. He was a seasoned prophet. What he lacked was not information, it was alignment. God's mission to the enemy was too scandalous for Jonah's national pride. Why preach mercy to a people who had terrorized your own? Jonah's disobedience was theological, not logistical. He disagreed with God's heart. But here is the twist. Jonah's escape attempt is a charade. He might fool the sailors and even himself for a while, but not God. The moment Jonah thinks he has found peace below deck, the storm arrives. And what a storm! A divine tempest brewed not out of rage, but of relentless grace. The ship begins to fall apart, and the sailors, in a moment of desperation, cry out to every god they knew. Jonah, meanwhile, is fast asleep, a portrait of spiritual apathy in a world on fire. When Jonah's number comes up in the Lord casting lottery, he confesses, "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." That is an irony alert. The man running from the God of the sea is now being swallowed by it. But even here, in the midst of Jonah's confusion and disobedience, God is not finished. Jonah thinks the game is up. Throw me overboard. But God has other plans. A fish is appointed not for punishment, but for preservation. Carbath once said, grace must find expression in life, otherwise it is not grace. God's grace finds Jonah in the belly of rebellion and refuses to let go. This is not about a fishy tale or ancient geography. It is about the scandal of divine compassion for Nineveh, yes, but also for the prophet who couldn't stomach the mission. The storm is not the enemy. It is the invitation. The fish is not the punishment, it is the pause. God is not interested in merely using Jonah's position as a preacher. He wants Jonah's heart, and that's true for us too. How often do we, like Jonah, disguise our disobedience in religious language? I will serve God, just not there. I will love people, just not those people. We choose Tarshish over Nineveh, convenience over calling. But God still sends storms, not to crush us, but to recalibrate us. To the church today, Jonah is both a warning and a mirror. You cannot outrun the God who made the sea, and you wouldn't want to. His mission is still to redeem even the most undeserving, and his grace is still chasing us relentlessly, lovingly, and uncomfortably. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, what Tarshish are you running toward when you know God is calling you elsewhere? Number two, are there people or places you have written off that God is inviting you to see with his eyes? And now our practical exercise. Today, reach out to someone you have struggled to love, whether it is a neighbor, a co-worker, or someone you have avoided. Say a prayer for them and then take a step toward connection, however small. Lord, we confess our tendency to run from your calling, from uncomfortable grace, from the people you love. Forgive our pride and excuses. Thank you for storms that awaken us and mercies that follow us. Help us to stop running and start listening. Send us where you will and give us courage to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.